I wonder how many of you out there have never heard that sound before. In case you don't know, that's a call. Boys and girls, youngsters, that's called a typewriter. That's a mechanical typewriter too. Not a Selectric, not an IBM Selectric. Although that was a nice typewriter. Anyway, good morning. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. I'm Tom. It's springtime in Maine. We made it. Black flies came out yesterday, and the ticks are out, so it's all good. I mean, you know, we lived through it. It is what it is, right? Well, just to get over the gorilla in the room, just wanted to touch base about this horrible fire down in Searsmont yesterday. We knew something big was going on. The fire truck from Stockton was going with the horns really loud. I mean, if it's something not real significant, they're quieter. This was not quiet. And then Prospect fire truck went by a few minutes later. And then, of course, we heard it just got worse and worse as the day went on. And unfortunately, we lost a soul of a firefighter. These people, these volunteers who go out and do that stuff, try to fight these situations. Nothing but kudos for them. It's rough, man. I worked in a sawmill once that had a fire, and it was nothing compared to this. It was a relatively small fire. As a matter of fact, I think we pretty much put it out on our own. But it was it took the mill out of operation for about a week. This is much worse. And, of course, a lot of flammable stuff. So our heart goes out to those folks. And many, many thanks to the first responders who were there. Well, and I'm sure they're still there. It's not a you know, quick and easy thing to put a fire like that out, obviously. So, oh, man. I guess saving grace is it wasn't middle of winter. They didn't at least have to deal with that. Getting on to better things, my daughter Maria, who's been on this program a few times, who works with us, told us, I guess I'd have to call her some kind of foodie, person who knows about food and has positive food experiences. I don't know. Anyway, she came across this product called Toom, T-O-O-M, which is awful close to Tom, really. And she says, the best thing I've ever had, I've ever eaten. And here's why. Toom, T-O-O-M, is made with olive oil and garlic. It's a dip. So she brought it in yesterday. She got some potato chips so we could try it. And, I've had garlic dip. I've had onion dip. And this is a step above. It's really good. And I had to stop because I thought my wife isn't going to let me in the house. Excuse me. It also had lemon juice. So that's a positive as well. You know, it really enhances the garlic flavor. So it was all good. And the black flies didn't bother me yesterday afternoon, which I came across a thing. And this is better than using a lot of those chemicals you have to use to keep bugs off of you this time of year. And that is that, and I know you know this, but I'll just share it for those youngsters who didn't know what a typewriter was. Mosquitoes don't like garlic. And I know I exude garlic when I eat it. So I'm good with that. I will eat garlic. It gets better with the mosquitoes, though. Apparently, research has found that garlic, if a mosquito, I guess, tries to take some of your blood, it does bad things to the mosquito as well. It disrupts their reproductive system, which is, as far as I'm concerned, is a positive. So we got that going for us on Saturday morning, May 16th. A cleanup week is today. Pick up for all the trash put out in Stockton Springs, Maine. Right? Wait a minute. Started an hour and 12 minutes ago. Started at 7 a.m. They start picking up stuff. I was headed to Bangor around 5 a.m. this morning, and two young, enterprising guys had a pickup truck and were headed up Route 1A, checking out. They're making every stop, looking for treasures. And I suspect they found some. So that was heartening to see, because I was shopping too. There was a generator I had my eye on, but I had stuff to put out myself, so I didn't grab. I've grabbed nothing this year. But last Saturday, I got started, and then Sunday, I went into full gear. Sunday morning, cleaning stuff, getting stuff out of the basement, and there was stuff. We had cleaned the basement before the spray foam was done, but there was stuff that was too big to get out. It cut a hole in a wall, the wooden wall, and threw a lot of stuff out. But I had more, and it was too big, and I didn't have time to cut it all up. So that stayed in the basement till last Sunday, and that got cut up and got brought out. And I literally spent the entire day Sunday moving junk out to the side of the road. I had one pile. Saturday, we had seven windows I had not installed. And I thought, it's cleanup week. Let's get these windows out of here so we can either somebody grabs them or they're gone. I don't want to look at them for 6 months till next cleanup, which is in October. So five of the windows were in the living room. And I had removed the storm window, aluminum storm windows ahead of time, and took out all five living room windows on Saturday. And it, excuse me, went surprisingly well. It wasn't a big mess. There wasn't too much. I don't think there was any. I'm sorry, but I have to say there wasn't a lot. I don't think there was a lot of swearing. I mean, there are times. It gets a little, language gets a little blue in my house when I'm doing some projects that aren't going well. And I had a few bumps along the way, some fitment issues, but we got everything in. And Sunday morning I did five on Saturday. Sunday morning I did one Sunday morning early, and then the second one I did in the afternoon. The second one, which was the last window of the seven that were remaining, I broke the original sash. The window was so loose that when I was trying to pull it out, the whole sash kind of torqued a little bit, and this is on the second floor. The glass goes flying out. Fortunately, there's nobody standing outside, and so that made a mess, but that got done. And that window, that was the worst window in the house. The window had, you know, the plastic sticky deal, the inside plastic window, stuck on it, had a storm window with one sash in it. The other sash was long gone, apparently. And the two operable sash, the top one was down about a half inch. So that got done. So that made that room a lot better. But that was the worst one in the house. Of course, that's the last one I do, right? But it went quick. Even with the broken glass, I spent probably more time picking up broken glass than I did putting in the window. But it all looks good. Hey, I got to take a quick break. I'm talking too much. I tell you what, it's just one of those things. But we'll be right back. It is hot and cold Saturday morning. Stay with us.
Ask and you shall receive.
All right.
She was a working girl, north of England way.
Now she's hit the big time
in the USA. And if she could only hear me, this is what I'd say.
Boom, boom, boom.
Honey pie, oh, you're making me crazy. I'm in love, but I'm lazy. So won't you please come home? Oh, honey pie, My position is tragic. Come on, show me the magic of your Hollywood song. You became the legend of the silver screen.
All right, we're back. It's 820 Hot and Cold. Herb Alpert's going to be in Portland, Maine this year. I forget when. It's just sometime summer or autumn. It's coming up, though. 90 years old, and he's still got it, man. I don't want to tell you what a peculiar young man I was, but maybe still am. But I was like 13 years old. I think I had every Herb Alpert album there was. Starting with whipped cream for obvious reasons, but that's another story for another day. Everything in my world of home renovation has a cue to it, a line of continuity of things that have to be done before the next thing can get done. So the cleanup thing, I had all this junk in the basement that had to go out. So that all got out Sunday. Monday morning, Pete and I went down the basement underneath the radiator where I had all the junk piled up. All the junk was gone. And we cut out the second kitchen radiator and used shark bite fittings. And I'm not crazy about shark bite fittings, but I thought, you know, this is a perfect application for it. The shark bite 3/4-inch plug, cut the pipe with two pipes to cut with tubing cutters, and we just plugged them. And that night I cut the pipes out and got the radiator. The radiator, these are big radiators, and they are so ungodly heavy. So the first one that I took out, I cut out, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, that I painted, is ready to go back in on the other side of the kitchen. This one I still need to paint. And I'm looking at it disconnected, and I'm like, man, I would love to get this thing out of my life. But it's so heavy and so unwieldy. And I've done it before. I moved them, but I'm like 40 years older than the last time I moved radiators out of the house. I don't even understand how I did it then, but I certainly can't do it now. My wife says, who can you get to get radiators out of the house? Probably a mover. Boy, wouldn't they love you. But I think what we'll do is we will paint it and put it back. But this particular – and that radiator was still active. It was heating. It didn't feel like it was heating because the heat load of that room is quite big. It's 500-square-foot room. There's 7, 8 windows in it. It's a kitchen. It's well lit. So all those windows are new windows. The old windows were drafty, were just miserable. So they've all been replaced. The walls have been foamed. The ceiling's been foamed. You know, doing what you can do. And I was waffling. I said, well, maybe I shouldn't put that radiator back in. Maybe I should put like a mini split in. And I'm like, the radiator was there. I've got it. It's easier. It's actually easier just to paint the darn thing and put it back where it was on top of a new floor. I got behind the radiator and got insulation in the wall. The wall's been drywalled, and I just need to finish up the wall. We could put it back together. And I got thinking about it, and this should have been step one, and it kind of was. I did run numbers on this room, the heat load of the room. When you're dealing with a room that underheats, and this room, or these rooms, excuse me, just didn't heat well. From the time we moved in, from the time we closed, which was like January 5th, to today, they didn't heat well. So I disconnect that radiator, which was hooked up and was heating. And guess what? After Monday, when I disconnected the radiator, the room got colder. Now, it's not cold out. But that room is just a hard-to-heat space. So I said, okay, Thomas, get a calculator, get a piece of paper. You preach this to the public. Sit down and run the heat load numbers again. And that's what I did. And it's kind of, there's a little bit of theory you have to put into this, because it's not a easy room. It's not like a house where you're doing the whole house. It's a room that abuts an unheated space, and you have to kind of figure this out mathematically and technically, whatever. Physics come into play. Anyway, I ran the numbers, and I came up with a heat load, excuse me, somewhere between 18 and 20,000 BTUs an hour at design temperature, which is 10 below zero. And I'm thinking, and I had this discussion with my wife, and she's all for it because she's always feeling cold. I said, why don't we do this? We'll put the two radiators back. I'm going to replumb them so we get more heat into the room. It's got a monoflow T system that just wasn't getting enough energy into the radiators, into the room. That's going to be changed. We're going to replumb everything. We'll show that when the time comes. But why don't we do this? Let me find a high-performance mini split just for that room. I'm going to have another heat pump that ties to the radiators, but we'll put a regular mini split in. And I found a spot where I can locate the ceiling unit, the wall unit, whatever you want to call it, you know, traditional mini split setup. And so I started shopping the other night, and I have an order. I'm just about ready to order it. 24,000 BTU an hour mini split. I got a nice spot for it. I can bury the pipes in the wall. It's not going to look, got that stupid downspout on the outside of the house. Some people are getting kind of artistic with those, but no, I'm not. That ain't happening. It's going to be in the wall. And I have the luxury of being able to open up the wall and put it inside in the wall cavity. So that's probably what I'll be doing. I just said this was last night. I was doing these numbers. And the unit I looked at is the same manufacturer as the unit we put in our office, a company called Costway. I think it's just a marketing company that sells Chinese stuff, and all these mini splits are made in China, and it's a high performance one, and it's about delivered at just about $1,300. You know, 24,000 BTUs is enough for many complete house heat loads. I think the performance is down to minus 22 Fahrenheit, so that's 25 SCER. So we'll see. That's I didn't hit the button, but it's all loaded up on the computer when I get home. I got till Monday now because nobody's going to ship on Sunday anyway. So I just want to think it through. But I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. While we're at it, I also ordered some convectors. I have at least one room that needs a convector, if not two, and I could retrofit some other rooms if I want. Again, those I have one room that has hot water baseboard that doesn't work very well, so I think convector is a much better fit, and that's gonna get installed as soon as they arrive. That's probably a couple weeks out, but that's we used to sell those. We used to sell convectors. And I might do it again. This is a new product from a manufacturer I've worked with, so we'll see how that goes. But I got to take a break. It's 8:29, almost 8:30. We got to take care of some business. We come back, got a lot more to talk about. Hot and cold Saturday morning. Enjoy this day. Okay, you know, I really struggle to find animal songs on Saturday morning, but I couldn't pass that one up. Good morning, Chelsea.
Good morning. You know, I love that song. That
That's a great song. Yeah. And believe it or not, it's called Serafino.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I love it.
Good stuff. We got Chelsea from Bangor Humane Society this morning, and we're going to talk about pets.
Yes, we are. And I have a wonderful girl who's ready to go home. So I think we've talked about her in the past, but she is still here somehow. I do not know. Mm-hmm. Her name is Karen the dog. So you can peek at her photo right on our website, bangorhumane.org, and follow along. She is a beautiful girl. She originally came to the Bangor Humane Society as a stray, and we shortly found out within hours that she was pregnant. So it was very stressful for her, as you can imagine, coming into a new place and having your babies. So she was pretty reserved at the start of it. It took her quite a bit of time to warm up to staff because she was terrified. And I do not blame her. That's a stressful transition into a new environment. So she has gained amazing progress. She is doing so great. Her babies have been adopted. And so she, as just a baby, is ready to find her forever family. She is 4 years old, beautiful girl, sweet, energetic, full of loyalty. She's not just smart, she's incredibly brave and also ready to play. She really would thrive in a home that she can be the only pet, making her the perfect companion for someone looking for a devoted friend. Now, she is going to choose her people. Plain and simple, she loves who she loves. It takes her a little bit more time to warm up. Again, this can be a pretty scary environment for a new friend. She's been around staff. We work very closely with her, so we are her people right now. But, you know, meeting those new people, slow, positive introductions, just kind of understanding you might have to meet her a few times before she really is like, okay, you're not bad. You give me treats. We're friends. So just kind of, you know, going slow with her and showing her, you know, I am the treat bearer. She definitely will form a bond with that. And she just kind of wants to be the only baby in the home. No kiddos, just her. She is just the baby and the queen. So she is so faithful and so great once she, you know, warms up to you. It just takes that time, love, and patience for her, but she is wonderful. She's so sweet. She gets so much zoomies when she's excited to see her people. Every morning, I'll go and say hi to her in her room, and she just gets so excited. So she's definitely ready to go home for sure.
Well, definitely, if you haven't already got onto BangorHumane.org and looked at Karen, and I love the picture of her with her toy penguin.
Oh, she loves that toy.
Oh, you know, it's so cool how they will adopt and go to one specific toy. We had a basset hound that had a duck, and every time you squeezed it, it quacked. Mm-hmm. And we still have it.
Oh, I mean, my gosh.
It was 20 years ago since we had her, but we can't let the duck go. But
No, you can't.
Yeah, she's right there, and she's waiting for you. She's only 4 years old. She's just a baby still. And
she is, and she's great.
Yeah. So that's great. And, of course, plenty of cats. And by all means, take the time. If you're looking for a friend, if you need a friend that's not going to let you down, you'd certainly want to go to Bangor Humane Society and look at all the cats. Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at that page.
So many friends.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's worth your time. And 1 to 6 today, right?
Yes, 1 to 6 p.m.
Okay. And weekdays, 1 to 6 also? Am I getting it right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Monday through Saturday, and then we're closed on Sunday.
Okay. Good deal.
All right.
Chelsea, good to talk to you. Thanks for calling in.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah. Chelsea Bangor Humane Society, folks do great work over there. And, Tom, hit that button there because the music's going to start playing if I don't Phone number's 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. Got some texts coming in. Got a gas-powered leaf blower. You were 100% right. Was the way to go. Biggest one steel makes. Let's see. You mentioned mosquitoes stay away from people emanating strong garlic smell. Isn't true for most living things, including members. Isn't that true for most living things, including members of the opposite sex? Yes. My wife is not impressed if she smells garlic on me. And certain things, they just, you know, powerful. She didn't say anything about the tomb. But it's, yeah. Question, another one. Do you use Wi-Fi and apps to control your mini split? I do. Both. I've got a remote at the office that runs it, but I can turn it on from home. I've got an app for it. And the new one, being the same manufacturer, has the same remote. And so I assume, it'd be interesting to see how the remote does with two, if I have to have the app two times or it shows both. We'll see. I'm not too worried about it. I told my wife when we realized that disconnecting that radiator that we didn't think was doing much was doing something. It wasn't doing enough, but it was doing something. And I said, well, you know, this was literally Tuesday. I said, well, you know, I'll have the heat hook. I'm going to redo all the heat, honey, and I'm going to disconnect everything and replumb it. And the first question is, when? Well, you know, autumn heating season is almost over, isn't it? And I got a look. I mean, it is a big old house, and those rooms in particular are kind of cool. They'll warm up, I'm sure, over the next couple weeks, but it's not horrible, but it's not what I would call comfortable either. So that kind of motivated me to say, okay, you know, if I get the mini split, I could put that in. It's a day or two, probably a day to mount the stuff and do the plumbing, and I've got to run some conduit for the power, but it won't take that long. He said optimistically. So we'll see. Let's see. We got a phone call on line two. If I hit those buttons, I think we can talk. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hi, Tom. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Good. Speaking of plumbing,
yeah.
I have, in the last couple of days, I had to take apart the shower in my old house and put in a brand new faucets and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably soldered, I'm going to say, five or six joints.
Yeah.
And one of them that I got to, it was just a little collar that joined two of the copper pipes together that I could not get to accept the solder. I changed flux, I changed torches. And it's the only one that did it. Is it possible to have a piece of copper that is just not sweatable?
It's happened to me, and I think it's the kind of thing that, and I hate to confess this, but I will. The kitchen radiator that we relocated back February, whenever. We had drained the pipes, and I had put two ball valves on and then a fitting to transition to PEX for running to the radiator, and I had a drip. And yeah. It was February, and it was damn cold. I didn't want to mess with it. And so I got some I was at Home Depot, and I'm looking at the some kind of epoxy water. I think it was JB Weld water type of epoxy, water for water pipes, and I did that, and it still kept dripping. I think I took it apart once and re-soldered it. But really, I think it's a matter of good cleaning and maybe even having a new fitting brush, new emery cloth, and just starting over to get it right.
I
don't think it.
I did that. I mean, it was It was as shiny can be on both sides and both ends, inside and outside.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't think it wasn't clean enough. You know, because I cleaned it exactly the same way that I did all the other ones that took the solder just fine.
Yeah.
I just could not get that.
Did you, were you able to inspect the joint to see that the solder flowed well, or is it not facing you?
It did. The solder would flow, but it would not stick.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say that. So, I mean, I finally ended up, you know, cutting the pipe again down a little lower, putting another joint a sleeve on, which took the solder just fine, and then held the damn thing upside down and, you know, hoped that the solder would go down instead of up. I mean,
sure.
It just was not giving me a time. It finally got so that I had most of it looked like it was, you know, had gone down.
Yeah.
And then when I turned the water on, I had, of course, one pinhole.
Yeah. I've had it happen. And usually I just wind up going over. One of the things I've done in the past is used a lower melt point solder. I usually use something like Silvabrite. And, you know, it's hard to say without being there seeing it, but, and I guess if all else failed, you always go to a shark bite. But, you know, as I'm getting older, I try to eliminate as much soldering as I've soldered, you know, for almost 50 years, but, I try to just go to PEX everywhere I can because it just makes life so much simpler, and we can avoid.
Yeah.
You know, it's a stupid way to have to avoid it because there's nothing more satisfying than having a good looking soldered joint.
I know, yeah.
But it's also I've got a pile of copper that we're taking out. I've got more to take out, and it's going to go bye-bye and get recycled because the PEX is so much simpler. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, as for all of the joints that I had to solder on that, you know, between the shower and the faucets and the tub and the everything else, that was the only one I had a problem with.
Isn't that always the way
it
is?
The only one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
and
good for
course, you know,
for getting that done. I'm proud of you.
thank you.
Okay. Good luck.
Right.
See ya. Yeah. It's nothing more maddening than when that happens. And, let's see. Got some other messages here. I was working at a lady's house in Bath. She had a window heat pump. It straddles the window unit, and the outside half is inside. Do I have an opinion on those? I don't. The ones I've looked at didn't seem to have real high performance numbers compared to some of the mini splits. And there's a range of mini. You know, I was looking last night at. You know, 24,000 BTU an hour mini split for $700-800, but the performance wasn't there the way the more expensive units were. And maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist, but they all look the same. And I'm sure there's condensers and evaporators that are different sizes, but you can't tell me there's a lot of difference between the different size units. I think a lot of that stuff is just all the same, and they just maybe change a resistor or capacitor or something electronically to do the extra output. I don't know. It's what it is. I like the idea of that. The one problem I have with the window unit is that the window is open, and it's not sealed. That joint between the two sash in the middle of the window is not sealed. Now you're stuffing insulation in there. And in January, I've never, you know, I can't say that I'm warm and fuzzy about that. And this time of year for running AC, it's fantastic. But I suspect we're going to see more of that type of unit that maybe fits into a wall cavity. You know, like they used to build in the window air conditioners into the wall. I suspect we could see stuff like that. There are a few of them kicking around. Anyway, let's see. We got another message here. It's a long one. Good morning. Six DeWalt lithium batteries. They were good when I used them several years ago because I haven't used them since. They all died. Seen on YouTube, it's possible to jumpstart one battery using a good battery. Is that safe? I don't have a good battery the same size, so I could use. Could I use a smaller size? I'm not real crazy about fooling around with lithium batteries that much. Because they, you know, in a cordless power tool battery, there's actually half dozen, maybe more, individual cells. And it's likely that one of the cells has died. Now, excuse me, when these are made, all the cells are the same voltage. And they all came from the same manufacturing plant. And they're as similar as they could be. And they charge and discharge uniformly. When you let them sit like in your situation and they've not been used, they're not being cycled on and off or charged and discharged, excuse me. So they tend to get out of balance. And if you try to shock the battery back into life, you may do it, but they're not going to be balanced. I hate to say it, but I think the prudent thing is to replace the batteries, maybe a few at a time. I'm just concerned, having had a major structure fire due to a battery issue, it's never a good day. And I'm not sure it's worth fooling around with that much because unless you open the pack up and do each cell individually, I don't think you're going to get the results that you'd be happy with. I could be wrong, but I'm gun shy about them because these batteries are lithium ion batteries. They're quite volatile. They're not as, for lack of a better word, safe as newer batteries are. And that's what we all have. I've got them. You've got them. I haven't seen a lot of anything that indicates that the new batteries are anything but lithium ion. I'm a little gun shy about lithium ion batteries, obviously. So for what it's worth, text message, solder it again, but clean the inside of the pipe as well as use Silver Bright with a goo flux. I've gone both ways with I use Silver Bright because I like it. You have to get it hot enough to get it to flow, and at that point you usually get the fluxes engaged and just it works well. I have used a lower melting point solder if I'm getting into mischief and having the kind of problem the caller had, just to see if I can seal it. So it's one of those things. So we're going to run out of time here in a minute, I guess. Before I forget, man, it's Saturday. Doggone it. Today, if you're near Belgrade, you know this already. It's Hammond Lumber Tent Sale, the last day of the Hammond Lumber Tent Sale. You probably missed a lot of the good stuff, but I'm sure they have so much stuff up there. It's worth the trip if you're in the neighborhood, or it's worth the stop. I've only been up there when it's not tent sale time. And I was impressed with the size of the location. And I can't imagine going there, not going there without a trailer, first of all. And then I have to come back with a whole bunch of stuff. And I had the luck, remember a couple of weeks ago I said the Central Maine Auto Auction had the big general auction, and they had a lot of Hammond Lumber stuff there. There were a couple of items that did not sell. And I wound up picking up one of them yesterday, as a matter of fact. I got a pallet of plywood and OSB. And mixed in with the pallet, the OSB was fantastic. It was all 5/8 tongue and groove. There was some CDX plywood, but there was some hardwood plywood. Some oak-faced, I think one is poplar. And a reasonably nice piece of 3/4-inch birch plywood. They've got those got the hardwood stuff got a little bit wet, and I'm probably not going to get a full usable sheet out of it, but I don't care. I don't have a project for it anyway, so I'm letting it dry, and then we'll see how it cleans up. But it's going to get used. And my truck was not happy with me. I had a lot of stuff on there, and it was certainly worth the. It was worth it. And I can't wait for October when they have the next general auction. Hey, I got to hit the tune machine. We got to get out of here for a couple. Oh yeah, banjo music. You can't not have banjo music. It is hot and cold Saturday morning. We'll be back in a little bit. It's 8:55. Hour number two is upon us very soon. Guys, with the music. Hey, the Royal Pickles, one of those groups that you just can't not like. I think they're from Montreal. And the banjo player is playing a five-string banjo like a tenor. I mean, yeah. All right. We're back. Hour number two has begun. And let's see, we had a text message last hour I didn't get to. Based on your past experience, would you please advise us how to prevent a bad situation happening with lithium batteries? Yeah, baby them. The big one, I think, is usually you're going to get in the mischief if you overcharge, if for some reason the charger fails. So the simple solution is you don't leave the battery in the charger. You charge the battery, take it out of the charger, set it off to the side till you're ready to use it. Likewise, don't over-discharge the battery. Try not to run it down so low, and I'm guilty of this, but try not to run it down till it just, if you're using a power tool, it dies. It happens. I mean, it happens a lot, but overcharging is usually going to be the issue where you're going to get into mischief. You know, technically, I think power tool batteries are reasonably safe. But it's simple enough to keep them out of the charger because that's could potentially be an uncontrolled situation. In my case, where we had the fire, we had a charger that had been recalled. I didn't know it. So I've told that story way too many times. I apologize if you're groaning right now, but oh man, excuse me. So after Sunday, I mean, I really did overdid it on Sunday, getting everything out. I had an old water heater in the basement. I put it on the hand truck and was, you know, getting it up the basement stairs. And I got to where there's a 90-degree turn on the basement stairs and got stuck because I have a, I put that new drain pipe in, and it went through the stairs off to one side. And the now the width of the tread wasn't wide enough. And the water heater's not real heavy, but it was just heavy enough. And it was unwieldy at a weird angle. And at some point, and being who I am, I'm not taking it back down the damn basement. It's coming out. So I mustered every muscle I had and got it out. And, you know, it was, like I say, it wasn't real heavy, but it was unwieldy. And then come Monday, my little body, my skinny body was not happy. And then, so then Monday evening after work, I want to disconnect the radiator, which had 1.5-inch pipes. And I cut the pipes to get it out. But the fittings, which are unions, were not real stuck, but I had to go back to work and get my persuader pipe so I could leverage the unions apart. And that wasn't a big deal, but I'm still kind of sore from Sunday. But then Mr. Einstein here decided, well, I got to move the radiator. And as I said, that is one heavy radiator. So at that point, I'm licking my wounds for the rest of the week. And I'm looking for easy, not heavy lifting projects. And one of which was finishing the ceiling. The ceiling tiles had come in. So I finished the ceiling, which is basically just cutting and sticking them up there. And somebody asked about the flash point of the ceiling tile where they are plastic. I don't know. But they're up, and I'll be keeping an eye on them, especially in the vicinity of the wood stove and the kitchen, just to see if there's anything going on. I'm probably going to be painting them as well, which will get an extra layer of protection, if you will. So that's another fun project. As I said, the drywall is basically, I don't think there's much more drywall I've got to do in the house. And just doing the little bit I had to do behind the radiator, actually it was about 1.5 sheets of drywall to finish up. And it's just me. I have an attitude about doing drywall. I'm not happy about it. It's just messy, but it's done. And I taped it, and I had a couple corners. And anyway, I got taping done, and I'm proud of myself. You know, I did the taping. I think I did that the same night I did the ceiling. And I come out the next morning. I'm looking in the kitchen, and the drywall is, you know, it's still drying, especially in the corner. And I notice one spot above a window. It's just a butt joint, and I don't know, it's 8 inches of taping I didn't put any mud on. You know, of course, you've washed everything. Everything's put away, but dragged it all out again and got her done. So that's so what I got to do now is, with the radiator out of the way, I've got to paint it. I can continue doing some flooring if I so desire. And I've got to, so I can put the radiator back, and I've got to do a whole bunch of baseboard and painting to get to the point where I can put all this stuff back together. But what I do have to do, and maybe today, I got to check to see if the joint compound is dried, is just sand. And I have a random orbital sander, a cordless random orbital sander that I can hook up to my dust extractor, and really does not allow for much dust to be deposited in the room. But I do have two walls. Remember me talking about the stucco effect that was done through the whole first floor of the house? There's not a room they left unstuccoed. So it's not flat drywall or plaster, excuse me. So we're flattening it out. And it's not that challenging, but it's just you got to put the time in. It's kind of like doing drywall and then having the sand, except you got to do the whole wall, not just a joint. So fortunately, it's not a huge area, but that's got to be done. I just want – the kitchen is a huge project because there have been so many things to do along the way. And I can see the end in sight, but there's all these annoying little projects to get there. And I'm pacing myself, so for what it's worth. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039, text 601-207-4478. Other things that have come, it's been a fun week. It was my wife's birthday this past week, and I said, what do you want to do? We do whatever you want. She wanted to look at tile. We didn't do that. I had put some banjos at a music store down in Camden, and the plan was to have them there for 6 months, and 6 months is up. So I talked to the store owner, and he says, I got some feedback for you if you want it. Sure, you know, I can take it. I'm a big boy. Got my big boy pantaloons on. So we went down on her birthday. So let's go to Camden and get the banjos. That was her birthday wish. Let's go get your banjos. What a girl, huh? So we went to Camden. Down on Bayview Street, String Theory, beautiful store. They have some fantastic guitars there. And picked up the banjos, brought them back. And the comment was not real negative. It was that I had one instrument that was an older, really gorgeous, it could be either for bluegrass or for a clawhammer. That had a few minor condition issues and a really clubby neck, a neck that's more like a baseball bat than a really thin, sleek neck. And it is what it is. I didn't make the neck. I bought it that way. And people said, neck is clubby. Well, yeah, you don't buy the banjo with the clubby neck. But I said, you know what? I think what I need to do, now that I have a room with 38 banjos in it, not counting the ones at work, I need to get my shop set up, and so if somebody wants a banjo, there are 38 of them to look at, not just three, and that covers the broad range of every instrument you could ever think of. Speaking of covering broad range, I got to take a break here. Let's see, is that the one? No, we're not going to play that one. We got this. Oh, we got that one. See if you recognize this one, huh? We got to take a break though. We'll be right back. Hot and cold. It is 9:20. This song haunts me. Sing about things. And it haunts me for one reason. There's a line in there, "Love the Herbie Ding Dong." And I assume it's a song. I haven't found it yet, but who is Herbie Ding Dong? There's the question of the day right now. Oh, Arthur Conley from 1967. What a guy. Man, I tell you what. A couple of things. We got a message here. No such thing as flashpoint of a solid object like tiles. I used the term flashpoint because somebody had messaged me last week about it and used that term as well. So I just lapsed into repetitive mode. So I apologize for the faux pas. Let's see. Everybody's technical. Love your show. What was the song Jazz last week about 9 a.m. Woman from Brazil? Oh, maybe Love to... Oh, that was Elis Regina. I don't play that many women from Brazil songs. Elis Regina, E-L-I-S, Regina, like R-E-G-I-N-A. Very famous Brazilian singer who died too early, had a bad drug problem, I guess. But she did a lot of stuff with Antonio Carlos Jobim. And look her up. You get on YouTube and just listen to her sing. You know, there's such joy in the music. And it takes you someplace else, which is good. You know, sometimes going to Brazil is okay. Speaking of music, Pokey Lafarge, which you will hear on this radio program, is going to be at the Camden Opera House in November. Maria just told me about it. I just looked it up. November 14th. Pokey Lafarge actually lives in Maine. Did you know that? We have so many notable people living in the state of Maine, and Pokey's one of them. So by all means, certainly that's an opportunity to see a well-known. I thought he was from Nashville or something, and maybe he was at one point, but what a guy. Let's see, what else? So now that spring has sprung, I mowed the lawn last weekend for the first time and noticed something. There's a beautiful invasive species growing on my property. It's Siberian salvia or something like that, a little purple flower, and it just covers the back part of the property. It's really pretty. And I'm looking at it, you know, a couple weeks ago, and it's just stunning to look at. You go look out there and it sees some of that. Just looks good. And I'm mowing the lawn, and I look over where all this beautiful, where these beautiful flowers are growing, and there's Japanese knotweed everywhere. It is all over the place. And I've dealt with Japanese knotweed before. It's not a great thing to deal with, and the only way or the consensus, if you will, is it takes 3 to 5 years to get rid of it. You have to cut it and inject it with Roundup. Not crazy about dealing with Roundup, but I'm also not crazy about Japanese knotweed. So I'm back to Japanese knotweed. We haven't dealt with it for about 5 years, and now it's right there in my face. and you know, it grows so fast. So it was maybe 4 to 6 inches tall last week. Now it's a foot and a half, and going headed to 3 feet. So it's going to be one of those fun summer projects. And I didn't want to mow it last week, and mowing it doesn't do anything. It knocks it down slightly, but really doesn't. And it grows where all these plants grow that I like. So you have to deal with them individually, I guess, and inject them. This is what I wanted to do. You know, I got nothing else going on. I got to inject plants now. Our phone number. Sure, why not? Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. Text message, Pokey, I thought he was Western Pennsylvania. He could be. I don't know. One of his best performances is Tiny Desk Concert. It's really good. I hear he lives in Maine now. Not a bad place to live. Yes, I know. I found him. I know where he lives. I take you to his house. We go visit him. I'm not going to say what town he's in, but he's in Maine, and that's wonderful. I think, you know, anybody who have a brain who lives somewhere else knows what a you come up here. Okay, so here's the deal. 55 years ago, God, I'm getting old. I was in college, and I was married 53 years ago, something like that. And we came to Maine. We did it. I did a shade tree survey in Colts Neck, New Jersey. I was going to Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And I got a job for the summer doing a shade tree survey in Colts Neck, New Jersey. If you're not familiar with Colts Neck, rich people live there. A lot of the housewives of New Jersey are from Colts Neck. John Stewart lives in Colts Neck. A lot of rich people. And I was in a Volkswagen bus, and I had my wife work with me. We'd drive up and down all the streets of Colts Neck. I'd rattle off what the trees were, what the size was, the location. She'd write them down, and she did shorthand. And we were in a red Volkswagen bus, and about every other day, the Colts Neck police would come and stop me because I've been reported on. Because I'm driving slowly up and down the streets looking at houses, and you know, I was looking at the trees. I wasn't looking at houses, but people, all the rich people were getting nervous that maybe I was casing the joint. And I kind of was, but so it goes. Hey, you heard that ring in the background. You know what that means. We have to play the theme music.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. 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 Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy. I don't think you're happy enough. That's right.
I'm happy because Pete's here. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, sir.
How do you like that one, huh?
That was a good choice.
Yeah. I have moments.
Yeah.
So what's shaking, man?
What's going on? I want to give a shout-out to an event today.
Mm-hmm.
There's an event. My buddy Paul, who runs Galactic Comics in Bangor, is on Hammond Street next to Angelo's Pizza.
Yeah.
He's having he's got three comic creators in his store today. I don't know if they're artists or writers or whatever, but
wow.
Three people that make comics. So if you or someone in your family likes comics or comic book movies or just heroes in general, it's worth going by. I'm pretty sure you can just go in and just, you know, you don't have to buy anything. You can just chat with them about what it's like to make them, and you know, especially if you got a kid who likes comics, it might be fun for them to meet somebody who actually does them for a living.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to mention, you tell him Pete Gosey sent you.
All right.
It won't do any good, but I want clout for the next time he's got something I want to buy and we're negotiating on price. I'll be like, remember all those people I sent when they had the comic art? That's basically the whole premise of saying Pete sent you, but say Pete sent you.
That's good. You could just go in.
That, I tell people that a lot about, like, when I'm like, oh, go see so-and-so, tell them I sent you. I just want clout for me for the next time I'm dealing with them. It's got nothing to do with you.
Yeah. Well, it could be a situation where if you're a shy person, you just go in and look at them. You don't have to talk to them. Just go look at them.
You don't even have to say anything. Just go sit at the table with them and start. But that's going on today, I believe, from 11 to 3. They'll be there all day answering questions. If you want to buy their book, it's probably, I don't know what a comic costs these days, like $5 or something.
Yeah.
Get it autographed, bring it home, put it away. 20 years from now, you might be able to buy a new TV with it.
Wouldn't that be something? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
all right. Well, I'll tell you
something to do today.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Now we got to take a break.
Let's take a break.
All right. You know, we don't want to talk too much. If people get too much of a good thing, and they get a headache. God knows, I don't want to cause anybody getting a headache. So.
I will.
Okay. All right, I think I don't have the music queued up, or it uncues itself. I'm not sure why that happens, but I just re-queued it. So it is Hot and Cold Saturday morning. Pete's here. Does it get any better than that? I don't think so. We'll be right back. Back. It is 9:36. We got Pete on line three, actually, the governor's line. Good morning again, Pete.
Good morning.
And I just want to...
There's a lot of people running...
Yep.
I was just going to say, there's a lot of people running for my office this year. I don't think they... I think they should just drop out while they're ahead. You know?
I would agree with that. I want to make a serious comment for a moment. We talked first hour a little bit about the fire at Robbins Lumber. I think every municipality in Waldo County, and probably Knox County as well, maybe even some other counties, was there yesterday.
Yep.
So you see those folks, you give them a tip of the hat, thank them for what they did and what they do every day, keeping us safe and struggling. And, you know, unfortunately, one of those guys went and ain't going home or didn't go home last night. And that's rough. That's a rough one. I mean, you know, we're fortunate that doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it hits you right between the eyes. So,
I believe that all the fire departments are volunteer too, aren't they?
I believe
there might be one or two that are commissioned, but I think the vast majority of them are all volunteers. This isn't even their day to day job.
Yeah, yeah, and
you know, they just hopped in the car and they hopped in the truck and off they went into that.
Yeah, yeah, and that was hellish, and I've seen some of Ben. Near some of the nothing like that, but it's and there's that they train a lot for these sorts of things, but nobody could be trained for something that big. Fortunately, the fire is out. It took a while to get under control, but thank those people if you see them. They do a good thing for us. So anyway, I'm tired. It's been a long week.
We moved a lot of sheet goods yesterday.
We did.
We didn't make any money yesterday, but we moved a lot of heavy things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The truck did not look happy, but made it back. And there are a few things left over. One of the things left over was 150 kilowatt propane/natural gas generator with a blown head gasket. And it's, last I heard, I have a friend who was talking about buying it. Last I heard, it was still available. And boy, I bet you can get a deal on that. So that's all I'm going to say. Central Maine Auto Auction, if you're interested. And believe me, I thought about it, except I don't want to provide power for half the neighborhood. But it's a big thing. So, and Pete wasn't with me, so I got to look at it up close.
Yeah, I try to keep him away from. He's got this thing about big, heavy, non-functioning things. If it's big, heavy, and doesn't work, he wants it. Especially if it's very dangerous to move. If it's dangerous to move on or off things, in or out of stuff, he's like, I want that.
That's a manly thing to do, though. You have to admit.
Look, I've made it this far with all my fingers and toes. I'd like to make it the second half with them as well.
Yeah. All right, I got some messages here. First one is, you are an implant. No, I'm a transplant, okay? But I've lived two-thirds of my life in this glorious state, more than two-thirds of my life in the state of Maine. So, you know, everybody's from somewhere except for the Indians. Yeah.
I'm not from away. I'm a Mainer. If you guys want a Mainer.
Well, here's the fun thing. I'm definitely from away. My grandparents, my father's side came from Hungary. My mother came from Italy. So I am from away, way far away. My wife, on the other hand, can trace her genealogy back to John Adams, John Quincy Adams, and further back. She's related to more presidents than you could think of, but that's a moot point because her great-grandfather was born in Old Town, Maine. So there.
Yeah.
There you go. Shut up.
Technically, she's not from, so you're the only one from away. She's not.
Yeah. Well.
She's from here, I'm from here, you're from away.
Yeah, so I'm leaving. let's see, you could. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead,
read the messages.
One last message.
Yeah.
You could try horticultural vinegar instead of Roundup. Apparently, the horticultural vinegar doesn't do anything. I had heard that salt worked, but neither of those work. I'm inclined to try those regardless. I am not a fan of Roundup. I don't want to use it. I don't want to touch it.
I'm a major proponent for, like, pesticides like that. I want, like, planes to fall out of the sky. I want everything to wither. I want, you know, same thing with bugs, too. Hey, speaking of which, with the ticks and all that, why don't we just, bioengineer, you know, everybody's talking about bioengineered ticks, right? Why don't we bioengineer a virus for ticks?
Well, I think they're working.
Like, just kill
them. They are. I believe they are.
Because, look, if I'm Pfizer and I'm, like, coming on the heels of all the COVID stuff, I know that a vast public opinion is maybe a little bit hesitant about vaccines at this point. I would focus on, well, why don't we make something we could give the ticks that'll kill them, but we charge for it, you know, like a spray,
yep.
And then you spray it around, then all your ticks in your area get it and give it to each other, and then there's no more. Just charge a lot for it.
Well,
I think everybody would be on board with that.
Jim Dill will be on, I would say, within the next 30 days on the show, and we will discuss that. I believe he said there was something to that effect they were working on where they create ticks that were sterile or there was something, and then you release these ticks into the environment and they mate with each other and they all die out. But
I'm not sure about the releasing more ticks idea.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the wild card there. And, you know,
so
really,
hope it works.
In our location where we have ticks, I think it's not so much from deer, I think it's from mice, because we do have mice around the area. And
I have had very good luck with permethrin. They sell it in the yellow cans, the black top at Walmart.
Yeah, yep.
That has worked very well, because I'm always the one mowing the lawn and weed whacking and doing stuff like that. I just do that from about the knees down, and I've had very, very few
permethrin
ticks, you know, on my clothing.
Yeah, and that will stay on your clothing through some washings. And it's permethrin is a something that's created in begonias. It's not begonias. Chrysanthemums?
Begonias.
No, it's not. Hmm. Oh, God. I'm drawing a...
Begonia is more fun to say.
Yeah. It's not begonias, though.
It feels like you should plug your nose. You're like, begonias. You should plug your nose when you say begonias.
Begonias.
Okay. Begonias.
All right. Yeah. Okay. That works. Hey, I didn't talk about the fine car that you're going to put out for sale this morning.
We don't got a folder for it.
We don't?
I got no paperwork. She didn't do the paperwork.
So you're not going to put it out
for sale? So now I got to do it, and it's going to be done wrong.
Okay. Well, that's better than not. Well, I'm going to tell what it is then. If you're not going to.
Well, it's not. Well, I don't know how much it's going to cost.
Well, you could. Oh. God, you know,
like I know nothing about it. I don't even know what the miles are at this point.
Permethrin. Somebody says permethrin's from carnations. It's not carnations.
Permethrin's a poison.
I think it's chrysanthemums. We could look it up, couldn't we? You keep talking, Pete. I'll.
You know what? I got one here for you. You know what? I cannot stand it. I want everybody to pay very close attention to this when they see it, especially on like YouTube. They're doing a lot of this. Is political ads. not for one side or the other side. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm like, I hate Democrat political ads or I hate Republican political ads. I mean, I just hate political ads in general because they, especially, I don't know if it's just for Maine, but they feel like they're, I feel so pandered to and dumbed down by them. You know, it's like, I'm going to use Susan Collins as an example because I'm seeing a lot for her, okay? Here's one that's for her. It's got her, like, on a lobster boat wearing the yellow rubber pants.
Yeah.
She's in her 70s and weighs 93 pounds. She's not lobstering. You're not, who was like, here's what we're going to do, Susan. We're going to put you on a lobster boat. And all the lobsterers in Maine, which is what everybody does for a living, are going to find it relatable. You know, come on, don't be a jerk. But then on the other side, I saw an ad that was against her. It's this, excuse me if the actor is listening, because it was an actor, a little bit of an overweight white guy standing next to his van at a gas station pump. So I'm supposed to believe that somebody with a camera just ran up to this guy who's filling up his van.
Yeah.
And he's talking like this, because this is how we talk in Maine, and Susan Collins gave Trump a blank check for his war in Iran, and now it costs me an extra $30 every time I fill up this truck.
Yeah.
Extra $30 every time I fill up the truck. That gets me every time.
Yeah. Well, you know,
like we're all just standing around talking about the extra $30 in gas we got to put up because of the endless war in Iran. Like, do you really think that's how we all are? We're all standing around the gas station talking about $30 like that with the accent.
Yeah, yeah.
If I meet 12 people every day, maybe one of them has a little bit of a Mainer accent.
Yeah. Well,
it feels like somebody from Connecticut is writing these things, trying to figure out what we're like. And I just feel very insulted by all of them, and it all just makes me want to vote for me instead of any of them.
Well,
and it should probably have the same effect.
Well, here's the thing: everyone. You don't have ads, so there already you're better, huh?
I got an ad right here. This is my ad.
That's true, isn't it? Oh man! So permethrin is from chrysanthemums, not directly, but it's a synthetic version of what's in chrysanthemum. Pyrethrins, okay. This is all coming back.
I like that because that's like they talk about. Oh no, they don't talk about chrysanthemums. They talk about gardenias in Apocalypse Now.
Okay, chrysanthemums.
Yeah, I thought it was chrysanthemums.
So maybe we ought to just plant chrysanthemums, and then the problem goes away. That's what we do.
I wonder if that would work.
Well, it certainly would not hurt.
That sounds expensive.
I don't know. I've never started chrysanthemums, but. When I was in college, I worked for a greenhouse, and they grew chrysanthemums. So it can't be that complicated because
college students were doing it.
College students were doing it. Yeah. So
yeah.
Okay. That's there you go. Now here's a platform for Governor Pete. That if this chrysanthemum thing works, everybody gets 4 chrysanthemum plants in the state of Maine, and seeds to start their own.
Here's what I'll do is I'll get rid of Maine state income tax, and then you can buy your own chrysanthemums with your money.
Okay. So what
That's
we
fine.
Need are chrysanthemum nurseries. This is a whole growth industry.
We're getting somewhere.
We're going to show
we're
these
coming
ticks.
Up with solutions to real problems.
We're going to show these ticks who's the at the top of the food chain here.
Because the tick thing does piss me off.
Okay.
It's like you can't even look at a patch of mowed grass and think, "Wow, maybe go sit down on the grass for a minute."
Yeah,
you can't do that.
No, not anymore. Used to be able to. It's all them people from away.
Got some answers. You got some answering to do.
It's those Hungarians. That's what it is. They brought the ticks up.
Hungarians didn't do it. Hungarians are swell fellas.
That's right. I have a picture.
The Slavic people are very
well. You know,
Slovakian.
I never told this, but. I have a picture of my grandfather, who was from Hungary, who was born on the 4th of July in Hungary. He's got a handlebar mustache, and guess what he did for a living? He was a handyman.
Coal miner.
He was he was a coal miner, but he was a handyman. So I got that going.
Oh, that's
hereditary. It's genetic, yeah.
We're all just handy enough to hack carpentry together.
Yeah, and... That and heart disease. I got heart disease from my family as well. You know, it's funny. In a way, I guess I don't smoke. I probably smoked cigarettes for a day back in the day.
I don't drink. I could tell you, I just don't drink. I've had drinks in the past. I'm not, if I have a glass of wine or a drink, it's once in a blue moon. I don't eat a lot of meat. I do eat meat on occasion. And I thought, and I'm active. I'm running around.
What's your sugar intake like?
My sugar intake is over the top, but that's what keeps me going. And I got the blood work. As a matter of fact, Pete was bragging about his blood work. I had reason to fast the other day. I think it was called food poisoning. I didn't want to eat anything. And I said, hey, I'm supposed to get blood work done. I got to fast for 12 hours. I've done that. Go to the hospital and get blood work. And did it because they wanted, you know, my cardiologist wants my cholesterol and all this nonsense. And it's good. So but all that's, and of course I've got a lot of medication that made it good, because all that clean living, all that running around like a lunatic that I do, I've done my whole life, doesn't amount to a hill of beans if you've got the genetics. So, oh well.
As someone who has smoked and drank, you really did miss out. You did miss out. It's worth doing for a decade or two.
Okay. Well, I did drink a bit, not a lot. There were three or four occasions where I got quite inebriated, and they resulted in some pretty good stories, much of which I probably couldn't tell on the radio, but because I'm a silly drunk, so I'll give you that. But we'll stop at that point. I apologize for going down that road. That's a strange road to head down. So let's see. I agree with you, Governor Pete, about political ads. Yeah, I mean, you know, if we
so dumbed down.
If
yeah,
we
like,
eliminate
Mainers, what respond to?
Yeah, if we eliminated political ads, no political advertising except print ads, maybe it'd certainly be better. We got one as realistic as Mike Dukakis pretending to operate an army tank. That was before your time, Pete, but but that was such...
I remember the name.
That was stupid. Sam from Old Town sent me a vote for Pete. He's not just good. He's hood enough.
Good enough.
No,
yeah.
He's got hood. Hood
enough. Perfect. Not just good. He's good enough.
Well, I don't know if I can get that to you from here. I'll take a picture of it for you, Pete.
All right.
Sam, is this the Sam you know from Old Town? Does he live up in Old Town? Your buddy Sam?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Sam.
Right.
No, that guy doesn't live in Old Town.
Okay. Well, I got to take a picture
this
of this.
This is somebody. Well, it's my buddy Sam now.
Yeah, he's got your picture here. Where the hell did he get your
My picture's, I don't know, the internet. I'm all over the place.
You're
I'm
the
like
post,
the wind.
In the post office. That's where I've seen your picture. All right, I'm sending this right.
They don't put those. They don't put those up in the post office anymore.
All right, I just messaged it to you. It's on Facebook. Huh. All right. You got it on your phone?
I don't. Because we you know, this is not great radio. If you're sending
well, yeah, but I mean,
this
is important stuff. You've got.
I've received nothing yet.
Pete's political ad. I'm sitting here looking. I'm going to leave that up there for Rick on Monday morning, because you know he should be talking to you. I
think. He probably. I don't even think it's. I don't think I'm appropriate even for his show. I think it would be. They'd have to give me something between the 2 to 3 a.m. slot for the real wound-up people.
With the with the Chupacabra and the Bigfoot.
I don't really think outer space is real at all.
Okay. we got about 2 minutes left. Anything you want to say about cars, you better say it now.
I had to go to Bangor the other day, and I took the Prius Prime. And do you know why I took the Prius Prime? Because the Prius Prime is showing 70 miles per gallon.
Yeah.
That's why I took the Prime. It's a 2017... Got like 170-something thousand miles on it. I think it's 11.5. I've got that Prius. I got another Prius I just put out, another 2017. I got two hybrid RAV4s. I got one regular gas RAV4. The car that's going out, I don't have to file it for it yet, but it's a 2017 Camry. Miles were 190-something, but for a Camry, I mean, I've seen Camrys with an organic 400,000 miles on them before. But this was one that I was just walking past it at the auction. I hopped in it and drove it around. It ran magnificently. I really do like the way Camrys ride.
That is an incredibly nice car. Somebody took really good care of it. And
it's an excellent shade of blue also.
Pete told me about it. I said, okay, we'll buy it if you know price is right, and it was. And I went to pick it up, and I'm like, wow. That's a
nice. This is why I go to the auction and look at the cars. You look at cars, they're like, that'd be a great project. I'm like, this one we could almost put out right away.
Yeah. That's why I send Pete to the auction instead of me, because I'm looking at piles of wood and broken generators to run the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. He comes home with magic beans, is the problem.
Unfortunately, that's very true, because I love a good project, and that's not a recipe for great economic success. Oh, man, we're out of time, Pete.
Hot dog.
All right, well, thank you for calling. And everybody out there, enjoy the weather. We got a great weekend. And our thoughts and prayers are with the folks who down in Searsmont. Thank you, Pete.
I've got a pocket full of miracles. And with a pocket full of miracles, one little miracle a day is all I need. T. Rubble's more or less be all the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine. But there's that pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles, the world's a bright and shiny apple that's mine. All mine. I hear sleigh bells ringing smack in the middle of May. I go around like there's snow around. I feel so good, it's Christmas every day. Lee, Ives, a carousel, fee, are as I can tell.